this week's parsha is Matis Masay. Now, Matis Masay is Matis Masay, the end of Sefer Bamidbar, and it's the end of a period of time, correct? We finished Sefer Bamidbar. I don't know how everybody's been managing over the last period of time. The Gra says, whenever you finish, or whenever the time period is over, a person has to reflect and has to see how that period went through. Now, I was just thinking in my head, and it gives a couple of examples. You know, when I'm sure people are familiar with the concept of Yom Kippur Kotel. What's Yom Kippur Kotel? Every Erev Rosh Chodesh, there's a custom by people that what they do is they some people even fast, and the slichos that said, and they ask for forgiveness when they reckon anything that they might have done on the past week. Some people have a custom by Kriya Shema Shalomita. Okay, what they do is they ask, they say vidui, they ask forgiveness in case they did anything wrong over the previous week. That's the idea of Kippur Kotel. Chassidim have a thing every Erev Shabbos. They say, I don't know if anybody's familiar with this, there's a special Hoidu they say before Mincha, which talks about different types of events that could have happened to a person over a period of time. And the point is, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything that might have happened over the last week. That's the idea of when a period of time is over, a person should reflect what happened in the past on that period of time. We're finishing Rabbi's Sefer Bamidbar. I can tell you that when Sefer Shemais finished, Pikudei, the world was in, what should I say, was upside down. That was the period of time when Sefer Shemais finished. That was around Rosh Chodesh Nisan time. The only thing you heard, at least the mic neighborhood, was who's Levi is next. When Vayikra finished, that was around Shavuos time. Baruch Hashem, things were getting better at that point. Many shuls opened and so forth. And now we finished Sefer Bamidbar. So now we have to reflect how this period of time went through. Did we grow from the last events that have happened? And only one God in heaven knows what's going to happen when we finish the Zayis HaBracha. We finish the Varim. Will we be in a better position? Will we be in a worse position? Only the Rabban Shalom knows. It's something which is very hard. It's very hard to, you know, your camera doesn't show. Very hard to know what the matzav will be. But I want to take some ideas of this week's parsha, as always, maybe to help us grow, to give us some tools to fight our day-to-day war. So first I want to start off with you with a beautiful Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma is also, I guess, I always keep on saying, it depends on the period of time that I'm talking to. Somebody which passed away in the 1940s, the late 30s, prior to the Holocaust, but which is considered a contemporary. I want to share with you a beautiful Meshech Chachma. This week, Parsha discusses the way Moshe Rabbeinu gets the command to go to war against the Midian. He should revenge the people of Midian. Now, for those that aren't familiar, the people of Midian were the ones that seduced Klai Yisrael to sin with non-Jewish women. So the Rabban Shalom says, I want you to take revenge by killing, I want to take revenge for what the people of Midian did. Okay. So he was told to take revenge for what the people of Midian did. Now, there's a Sefri which says that the Rabban Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the people that when you go to war, you have to do two things. Number one, you must offer a peace treaty. You must tell them, listen, if everybody's ready to give in, everybody's ready to come under to be subordinate to the Jewish people, You must offer a peace treaty when you go to war. Okay. Now, there's a second thing which HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, which when you go to war, what I would like you to do. What I'd like you to do is don't surround them from four areas. Surround them from three areas. Now, what's the logic behind that? Very interesting logic. I don't know if anybody ever thought about this, but this is at least this is the logic of the Torah. You could we'll get to the second. The Rambam holds that there's a mitzvah. One of the six Rambam, I apologize, Rambam for Nun says it's a mitzvah. And when you go to war, you shouldn't surround them by four directions. The Rambam doesn't count this as a mitzvah. The Rambam doesn't, one of the 613 mitzvahs, the Rambam does not bring this obligation. Why not? The Torah says that you have to leave one entrance open when you go to war. Why isn't the Rambam bringing this as in the Minyan HaMitzvahs? So the Mashal Chacham has a very interesting point, which I'm not a warrior. I'm going to ask somebody, Aliyah, if this is true. But this is what I'll tell you, what they got to ask somebody that actually, or maybe somebody that actually, fought and so forth, will tell you if it's true. I'm just telling you what the Mashal Chacham says. It's an interesting point. If you go to war and you surround the guy by four places, so he has no place to escape. Now, I'll just bring a modern day marshal. You know that when you attack a guy and the guy has nowhere where to go, from nowhere, all of a sudden, his adrenaline goes up and you'll soon see that he's capable of doing things which under normal circumstances, he would never be able to do. I remember a couple of years ago, I don't know how, what, when, and where, I got convinced to do this. But my kid decided they're coming with me banana boarding. I have to go banana boarding with them. Now, we all know banana boarding, right? They flip it over, and you got to go try to get back on. Then you have the spotter. I'm not that physically strong. This one, okay? For those that have gone with me on one of my brook trips, I could swim, I'm not bad. But I really can't say that I'm in such shape to be able to, I see some people are questioning if what I'm saying is true, to be able to swim with all my kayak while I'm in the water. I want to tell you what happened. When I got thrown in, I don't know where I got this ability. I think I was swimming 75 miles an hour just to get back onto it. Now, why is that? You all know that over energetic at one point, which I'm sure I'm capable of being so, from nowhere, all of a sudden, you get that like Superman kind of power. Now, I'll give you another example to this. A couple of years ago when I was, must have been 4 or 5 years ago, I don't know if Tylen remembers, I wasn't feeling well. So I was having stomach trouble. I think I told you this. I was in the hospital July 4th. I still remember till today. And I told the doctor I have colitis. And this is in Harris, New York. And the doctor asked me, so how do you spell colitis? He had to Google it. I told my wife, I'm getting out of here. I'm not saying it. So I wind up in the Columbia, in Lenox, rather. And they put me on steroids in order to control it. I was not planning on joining the major leagues and so forth. It was for 3 weeks. At 4:30 in the morning, you wake up and you think you're Superman. If anybody's ever tried it, that's what you feel like. So what's the point here? The Meshach Chachma says, the idea that you don't surround them by four sides, it's not a mitzvah. It's a tactic of war. If you're going to surround an enemy by four sides, from nowhere, they're going to come with super duper energy and be able to attack. So the Torah is telling you, it's just not an intelligent thing to do. You're asking for trouble. So therefore, the Rambam doesn't count it, because the Torah, it's not a mitzvah, it's not an obligation. It's a smart thing to do, because otherwise you're going to get carbon. What did I want to take this as a lesson in Avodas Hashem, my first lesson for Avodas Hashem today? We all, the Chaim Salvav says, talks about that wars. You have to remember, when a lot of these svarim were written, particularly in times of Rishonim, wars were daily. I think only police chaos started now in 2020. And there were wars which they weren't even sure what they were fighting. Territory, religious purposes, financial purposes, right? Sometimes there was a woman involved, so it's a Jew. But the point is, if you, the Chavis Avav says, besides the war which you fight against an enemy, there's a war which a person daily has to fight against his evil inclination. And it's a daily war, which many times we are successful, many times we're not successful. How do we succeed? You know the way you succeed? The only way to overpower the enemy, is we go with full adrenaline. And I'm not giving up. I'm going to corner you, I'm going to fight you, and so forth. If you leave one opening for the Yetzer Hara to be able to come in, and to be able to make Yiddishkeit cold, to make anything of Judaism or Halacha cold, he won. Now that you got to go full force. If you go full force, you could succeed. Just like when you go to a literal enemy, the way to go is corner it. I'm gonna go with all my adrenaline. That's the lesson of the way of the first lesson of this week's parsha, which I think we could take for life. Let me take one other issue, and I want to share you something from the world of Rav Hutna, and be able to explain it to you. This week's parsha, a big part of it, talks about Nidarim. Somebody makes a vow, somebody makes a promise, and so forth. That is a very interesting halacha. There's two types of promises. There's two ways how to abolish a promise. One way, if, for example, if a male or a girl that's not married hears a neder, so she goes to a Talmud Chacham. The Chacham hears the neder, and the Chacham retroactively can take away the neder. So let's explain this a little bit on our language. Let's suppose today is Friday. Somebody makes a neder today and violates the neder. Sunday they go to the Chacham and they tell the Chacham, it was a stupid move what I did. Even if they violated the neder between Friday and Sunday, if the Chacham uproots the neder, we say that the neder never took place. That's when it comes to a Chacham. And that is another way to uproot a neder. Let's say somebody's a married woman or a single girl up to the age of 12. If her father hears that she made a neder, the father has a right to say the neder is not null and void. Okay, so there's two ways how to uproot a neder. There's going to a Chacham, and it's even a father of a girl or a husband uprooting a neder. What's the difference between the two? In one case, you can uproot it retroactively. In one place, you don't uproot it retroactively. It's only void from the time of the annulment. So let's say the father hears about a neder right now, 5 o'clock, the girl made. So the halacha is, the neder we consider to be in effect till the moment of annulment. By a chacham, we say that the neder becomes uprooted from the time that it was said. Okay, everybody understand the halacha difference between the two? If you don't, write it on the chat. I'll repeat it. Rav Hutna, contemporary as well, he was the first Rosh Hashiva in America. There's a yeshiva in Brooklyn, it's called Chaim Golan. He had a beautiful thought, and I want to share this with you a little bit. He says, you know, by tshuva, when somebody repents, Chazal say a person has the ability to undo what he did. Right? Tshuva has the ability to undo what you did and retroactively take it away. Now, if somebody, for example, is going to eat now, he's not retroactively going to be full yesterday. If you will, then you know what? Then I wouldn't have, I'd have no problems fasting Tisha B'Av. Because on the 10th day, retroactively, I'll be full. If somebody comes as a millionaire tomorrow, okay, tomorrow Shabbos, okay, you're going to catch me on that one on Sunday. Retroactively, it's not going to help you with any of your problems of today. Where is the only place that we find where we're not down to time? Somebody can do something, the thought process can go beyond time. You know what is that's a chacham? A Talmud Chacham, Torah, has the ability to undo something, even though physically it seems impossible to undo. We all live as humans with the constraint of time. But there is such a thing. We can uproot what we did, right? And we can become better by taking any mistakes we did in the past and try to make a better future and a better present. We take these two ideas. We spoke about the idea of what the war teaches us. We spoke about the idea of the moment of a chacham teaches us. It seems like it's halachic ideas only, but we can take it to in the hashkafic vein, the hashkafic realm also. I want to tell you one more interesting point here, and try to you know, as life gets back to normal, I mean, hopefully Hashem should help it to continue so. A lot of people here asked me, came Pesach time, there were many chumras, the stringencies that they might have had on regular years. This year, Pesach was very difficult. There were some places you couldn't burn the chametz. Some people didn't burn the chametz. Some people flushed down the toilet. Some people, there were certain coolers, certain leniencies, which they relied on this year, which they don't rely on previous years. And two boys in the 11th grade asked me, you have to make Hataras Nadar. So it's an interesting Chayadam. This week's the parish of Nadar, right? Which says something. And it's a good thing to remember. The Chayadam says that if somebody breaks a Nadar or a good Amhaga, a good behavior, at a necessity, but they plan on going back to normal, when life gets better, there's no need for Hataras Nadar. Why? Says the Chayadim. This guy really wants to keep it. What should he do? There was no choice. Rabbi Isai, unfortunately, for a long period of time, we were on lockdown. Okay? It was hard to get to Minyanim. It was hard maybe to get to Chavrusas. It was hard to go to a shir. There was plenty of pressure people were under. I was today in Walmart. Okay. It wasn't actually today. The other day I was in Walmart. You know, it's an interesting. I don't know if there's any Walmarts in your area. There's a Walmart here. So there's a line outside. Slowly people are getting back to normal. The idea is, anything which in the past, for some reason, we might have been lax because of the situation, Rabbi say, let's try better to go back to normal. There are a lot of you over here, I'm looking just at the crowd who I'm talking to, which had pretty good records with davening of minyan. But then unfortunately, the situation didn't allow us. We're getting back to a world where you could be in the optimum. I know every neighborhood has its own rules, but I think almost in every neighborhood they open their shuls to a certain extent, and there's minyanim and so forth. Well, somebody has a health situation, which you know, which might be different and so forth. I'm not commenting, but let's try to learn from the Yetzirah, from the how one stages a war against an enemy, how we can stage a war against any pursuits we have in our life. Let's learn about the beauty of what Torah has, the ability to raise us above the physical time. Let's also remember anything that we might have been lax for excuses, but let's not make those excuses into permanent excuses. As always, it's a pleasure to speak to you boys. Whoever I come to call everybody by name, just unmute yourself.